Welcome to the Rich Equation Podcast.
Rich Equation Podcast.
Are you ready to discover how to live rich today and not wait for retirement? If you're tired of struggling and want to live your best life now, you're in the right place. Outdated principles will no longer work in today's environment. It's time for a new approach. Your host, Ashish Nathu, will help you discover methods to live the new American dream. It's time to start living the good life on your own terms and experience a new way to live. Rich.
Rich.
Now, here's your host, Ashish Nathu.
All right, Mr. Ken Patel, welcome to the Rich Equation Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm really excited for this conversation today. Firstly, before I get started, I want to just acknowledge that you are my first Gujarati Patel on my podcast.
Well, what an award.
I know.
I'm honored.
Considering, well, I'm actually a Patel also. My family changed our name when, wow, I think right after we were born. So it's a special tribe, us Patels.
That's it. That's it. We got to keep the momentum going.
Right? That's right. I'm really excited to have you on the podcast. I think this is going to be a really deep conversation. What got me interested in talking to you is that you are really going after some really big things. As you know, you can look up Ken and we'll put all the links of the website, the EV Hotel, and all the publicity you're getting and all the big projects you're working on and all those things. And I'll give you a second to talk about all of that, but I'm really excited to talk about the journey and the struggle and how you got here today. And after I met you for the first time and after I've kind of been watching what you're doing and what you're up to, it's been really inspiring, but also like I'm super curious because, not to sound silly, but like there is a really big Indian culture, Indian population in the hospitality industry. People ought to know that, right? That we own 60% of all hotel rooms in the United States. And it's a big, big focus point for our culture. But like you have sort of looked completely 180 degrees from what everyone else is doing and are really going after some really big things. And so I'm super excited to talk about all of it today and get as deep as we can in the short amount of time we have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, look, this is a very old industry to begin with. And you have people that have been in it for a very long time and people that are starting out to come into it, right? So you have to balance it out. There's a balancing act that needs to happen here, but that balancing act has never happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like the evolution of the web where it goes from Netscape, NetZero, Google, Microsoft, Apple. You know, we haven't had that in hospitality. It just hasn't been there. So this is kind of, and I want to get more into it, but give you a little summary of the show here.
Yeah, give us a little bit, just a quick high-level update of what is the EV Hotel brand, what's the vision, and then we'll get into how you got here.
Yeah. I mean, the EV Hotel brand is the simplicity of what hospitality should be. It's the world's first crypto and technology hotel brand, very heavily focused on technology, but also focused on a less task-driven system. We're known throughout the globe as a labor-intensive industry. We haven't had fast forward thinking. We haven't had the thought processes, how do we make the job better for our employees? You know, we've always thought of how do we make the hotel better for our guests?
Mm-hmm.
We have never thought of how do we make it better for our employees. That's why the industry struggles with labor now. It's because, you know what, you can get inside of an Uber and all you're doing is making sure your legs are touching the gas pedal or touching the brake. And you're making about $25 to $27 an hour. So are you going to tell employees you need to fill out logs and checklists and make phone calls and do all of these things that are not needed? Technology does that. So what do they focus on? They should focus on service, where the service and the guest scores of the industry throughout the world are at its worst point ever.
Ever.
Ever. And, you know, I think in the beginning, as we talked about too, is Yes, 60% of the hotels in this country are operated by, you know, the Asian American community. And why isn't there more focus on service? Why isn't there more focus on creating a less task-driven system for our employees? And this would make it such a better world for the world of hospitality. But that's what EV Hotels focus is, taking all the traditional processes that we have, turn them into non-traditional. You know, making sure, why isn't there front desk? People are like, wow, man, that's like over the top, man. You're going to eliminate a front desk? And I'm like,
yeah. You're crazy.
Yeah, we're crazy. But they said, a year ago, they said I belonged in a psychiatric hospital. Now they're saying I should be up for many awards. But this is how the industry operates, you know. And what do? We take out that front desk. We give them the technology for the guests to check in, get a digital key, go straight to your room. Anything you need, we're at your mercy. We're providing you the utmost service. Now the employees are free. They're not standing like robots behind the front desk waiting for a guest. Now they're going up to the guest. They're helping the guest. The guest is already checked in. That's it. You know, doesn't eliminate the labor, but what it does is streamlines the labor.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a mental state of mind that, look, there's not the stress of me getting a warning, getting fired because I didn't collect payment. You know, I didn't give somebody a free room. All that is gone.
Well, what I love about what you're trying to accomplish and why I wanted to bring you here is because I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with the journey of going after what I'm going to consider blue ocean strategies, right? I'm sure you've read the book Blue Ocean, but like, you know, going after things that no one else is going after, things you're far ahead of everyone else. And there are so many industries out there that are similar to hospitality. You know, you think about, you know, purchasing a car. It's so antiquated of a process. You know, you think about the airline industry. It's like very similar. And there's so many of these businesses, and we're talking about big businesses, but even in the small environments, like there are so many industries out there that are antiquated. And so what I would love to ask you is, you know, once you decide, and I think a lot of people can have these ideas, right? Fair enough. Like you can have a lot of ideas like, oh, I want to disrupt this industry. I want to disrupt this industry. But the idea that I actually have a plan, I'm going to put it in place, and then I'm going to go after it, right? And I'm going to deal with all of the imposter syndrome, all of the negative self-talk, all of the naysayers and people who say, you know, the psychiatric ward guys, right? The people who think you should be in psychiatric ward. Tell me about how you deal with that. How, as you've started to navigate this journey, I'm sure there's plenty of people who have doubted you. What's gone through your head? How have you dealt with that and how have you overcome it?
I use two words. And people have probably seen one of my LinkedIn posts that just went viral. And this was a few months ago. And I wrote something about naysayers, you know, and I said, you know, if you let that bother you, then you're going nowhere. So I use two words for them all the time. Keep watching.
Keep watching. You know, I love it.
You know, and that's all it's going to be, because I also have a thing of, there's an 80 crowd and then there's a 20 crowd. And you'll never satisfy the 20 crowd, but you always satisfy the 80 crowd. So worry about the 80 crowd. The 20 crowd, there's still 20% out there after what, 10 years of Tesla and 500,000 cars sold in a pandemic year, that the 20% still don't believe that Tesla's $3 trillion valuation, $2 trillion, whatever it is. And Elon Musk just changed the world of the auto industry. I mean, I personally owned it's the first ever Porsche EV. When did you think Porsche was going to make an electric car? Bentley said now they're coming out in 2024 with all their cars electric. Maserati.
Now everybody's lining up.
Everybody's lining up. So are that 20% still believers? They're not. They're not believers. And they never will be. But they're not going to show you they're believers, but in their mind, they're like, this is something, you know? And that's why you just have to really be focused and have the mindset is just let them watch. They're going to give you positives and they're going to give you negatives. But if you're going to just sit there and think that you're going to make everybody happy, you're not. You're not.
And for you, where does that level of confidence or where has that narrative, where did that start for you?
Dubai.
In Dubai. Tell us more.
Yeah. When I spent 4 years in Dubai, that's where I got my MBA in International Hospitality Management at the number one school in the world. And they have a very innovative mindset. They have this focus that do what you want when you want to do it. And if you let people stop you, then you'll never accomplish anything. And you want to have the mindset that you're basically going to lead. You're going to lead by example. You're going to lead by what you want to do. You know, and that's why you see Dubai. Is there another place in the world that looks like Dubai? There's not. There's absolutely not. You don't get anywhere an underground aquarium restaurant. I mean, that just doesn't happen. And, you know, even when you talk about it, they're creating a green city. They have the world's tallest building. They have the best looking cars, the best looking hotels. They have now the Saudi government created a $1 trillion fund where $565 billion goes to hospitality and hotels, over 100,000 rooms. You know, and these are things that, did they ask somebody that they want to do this? No. Are people watching them as they're doing it? Yeah. Hmm. Because that's what an entrepreneur should focus on. Is do it if you feel it's right, but make sure if you're doing it, there's not a stopgap. You know, that you're not going to stop and there's not a gap where you're like, okay, if 10 of your family members said, no, this is not a great idea, you're just going to waste your life doing this. Then you listen to 10 people and you didn't get what you want. You didn't go after your dream. You didn't go after what you thought was right. Trust me, I will tell you this, from 2018 to now, even during the pandemic, I started EV Hotel Group as the first company in the pandemic in 2020 of October, the heart of the pandemic, okay?
Brilliant idea.
You know, and EV Hotel was just introduced to the world last September. So that's where people are like, man, you're crazy. The occupancy was down. All of this was crazy. But yeah, I put in 18 to 19 hour days. You don't get somewhere and do something special if you think you're going to work 40 hours a week. You know, that is not how it's going
to
work.
Well, I also think that, you know, while people could think you're crazy to open up a new hotel brand during the pandemic, there's also an opportunity.
Opportunity. Yeah. Right. Opportunity. Look. It's if I did it before the pandemic, yeah, people would be like, look, the RevPAR is great, the occupancy is great, the ADR is great. You know, we're not getting complaints from guests as many complaints. There's some employees that still want to work. The labor issue in hospitality has been going back to 2016.
People That's right. Know. It just exposed you know. It more, right? It just
Yeah, it's just the exposure was very loud now. Why? Because you have more gig companies. When you furlough employees in hospitality, their minds open up to other avenues. And that's what COVID did and the pandemic did, is when you furloughed these employees, it didn't matter if you furloughed them for a month, 2 months, 3 months. They got into an Uber, they did DoorDash, they did Uber Eats. Their minds opened up that I can't stay at home. I need to make some sort of income, these unemployment checks, this check. That's not how they operate. They don't care about those checks.
Right.
You know? So I think this is where they got into a different avenue of earnings. You know, they said housekeepers started their own cleaning businesses. They went from cleaning rooms to cleaning homes. And they saw that they can make a lot more money. You know, maintenance guys got behind Uber and they knew that they could make $80,000-$90,000 just driving an Uber at. I did the math on that. If you had 100 and something Uber rides per day, it was actually about 150, 200 Uber rides per day, and you did it for 7 days a week, that was about 8-9 hours a day, you were making about $96,000 a year.
Well, the gig economy is incredibly disruptive, and I don't think it's going anywhere, right?
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not.
Tell
That's
me,
why you have to make things easier for people.
I mean, you've been in the hospitality industry for over 25 years. After going into hospitality, but putting sort of a technology crypto spin on it, definitely has its own challenges. But what challenges or what issues did you face that perhaps you didn't anticipate?
From the get-go, I said, I'm not going to be part of any hotel association. I'm not going to fall into the trap of being a political leader, as in, oh, I need to be part of American Hotel Lodging, AHLA, any of these. I'm not part of a single one. And people are like, you're crazy. You need to do that. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to do anything, because they're going to help you get to where you want to go, because they're going to be able to create the brand awareness. I'm like, watch me. I'm like, watch me what I'm going to do. And that's the power of social media.
Yes.
The biggest challenge, obviously, is, look, everybody's not on LinkedIn. Everybody's not on Instagram. And that's why I say the industry is very old, right? But my thought process was, I would trigger certain people that have a network and that are part of these certain communities. And that's where I've been able to kind of trigger. And look, it's still a struggle. I mean, you know this. I mean, you can't take a company and you think you're going to make it the Magic Kingdom in a year,
right?
But are people very excited about this brand and what it's about, and more people are reaching out? Absolutely. Look, absolutely. People, I mean, we're the first hotel brand in the metaverse, fully built. We beat out every single brand in the world. Okay, every single brand. Citizen M, that's a known brand. They were trying to replicate it. They're still trying to replicate it. They're still trying to buy land in the sandbox. We're the world's first hotel brand to have an NFT rewards program that replaces the point-based system. Since that launch, now 4 other brands have launched their own NFT rewards program. So what we're doing is changing the world of hospitality, and we know it, and it's right before us. And that's why I think when you saw it at the HD Expo, I mean, you saw the engagement and the people that were interested, and they're like, what is going on?
You also have a stylish blue suit, which you're always, Mr. Ken is always looking really fly, right?
That's my New York City in
you. That's your New York. I don't know. That may be the Dubai in you, my friend.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's talk about building a team. I don't think any large organization can achieve what it needs to do, obviously without a strong leader with a strong vision, but also without a strong team. So tell me about, what has been a challenge for you in building that team, that core team for you, inspiring people, and what have you learned?
I've built this network over 25 glorious years. And I think I spoke to you. My network is outside the Indian community. I don't know many Indian people, really. And, and it's not by choice. It didn't happen that way. It was more of, I like to deal with people that have substance. I like to deal with good people, good, humble people that have been very successful. And I built this team that's really had small components of hospitality. But I felt like you didn't need a hospitality team. You don't need a person that knows hospitality construction and operations, because that's the old school mentality. Let's develop a new school mentality. Let's develop world-renowned leaders in different spaces. I got an NFL athlete. I've got one of the top crisis management women in the country. She deals with all athlete celebrities. I've got, a guy in Brian that owns over 70 companies around the world. So these are people that are educated and motivated by successful ventures. And, you know, Stephanie Malik, she's been on hotel boards before. She declined all the hotel boards because she wanted to be part of EB Hotel. And, you know, she's a very dear friend of mine. And, you know, this is part of my whole network. Jeremy Gutierrez, that's in Texas. He owns a big energy company involved in Bitcoin mining, has spoke at a Bitcoin conference in Miami as well. So it's very hard. And the question you were asking is, how do you build a successful team? Is you got to be very humble. You got to be very grateful. And you got to tap into your network. You know, you got to develop a network over time that you're dealing with influential people, but also people that are great people. Hmm. And as you can see, I've always learned that the Indian mentality is that every person that they have to deal with has to have a monetary value.
Hmm.
They're like, if it doesn't have a monetary value, I don't want to even know you. I don't want to know you.
We are we get a stigma of being very frugal as a yeah. community.
And people know me very differently. It's like, look, I don't consider anybody to have a monetary value. I'm like, look, let's be friends. Let's connect. Let's see how we can help each other. You know, and if that to me, I've always had it. Look, if I get to know you, you may not help me in the way I want to, but three people down the road might, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you said two things that really stuck out to me, right? Is that number one is when you're building an innovative business, it's important to look outside of the industry that you're trying to build, because I think the common denominator is, well, let me just go find the world's best hospitality experts and bring them to this new innovative brand. But the reality is that they're going to think the same way they have at every previous company they've been, and they're going to bring all those bad habits to my business, right? And if you're going to try to, you're basically asking why to every fundamental component in the industry that you're in, right? In any business, whether it's hospitality or something else. And then the second thing that I really am taking away from that is that, you know, I think over time, and you know, you've had 25 years of this, but I think over time, we often don't think about our interactions or relationships about, you know, in a non-financial way. It's like, how do I just build a relationship? You know, I was listening to something the other day. It's like, well, there's a relationship building process just like everything else, right? Like, first there's interaction. Then there's maybe a level of simple engagement. Then it's like maybe a certain amount of time of just non-financial relationship building, conversations and going deep and understanding each other. And then you build trust, right? Then hopefully you're able to build some sort of financial alignment with the people that you enjoy and all that. So I think people often forget about that. Not just in our community, but across the board as business people, as entrepreneurs, that, you know, what can I get out of you immediately, right? And so just focusing on providing value.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. I mean, like, look, I think when you're building a company, people have to also understand is building a company is not like going to the grocery store because you know where the bananas are, you know where the apples are, and you know where everything is. And it's very easy to grab it, right?
Yep.
No, it's like a farm. You have to grow it. You got to grow the bananas. You got to grow the apples. So at that point, you can take it to the grocery store and put them there. And that's what building a new company is. It's what being an entrepreneur is. And you're growing it. It's basically you're planting it. You're planting it for people to have it.
Who inspires and motivates you? Who do you look up to?
There's two people, and I'll tell you, it stuck with me for a very long time. And it's funny that it's kind of the guy that I followed for so many years from the time he started a coding business with his brother. And now they refer me to being the Elon Musk of hospitality. And it's Elon Musk. He had a documentary of Don't Ever Give Up. It's on YouTube too. And, you know, he started a coding business with his brother years ago. And they used to take showers at a local YMCA and spend 20 hours a day. Even when Tesla went public and it was a fiasco, he put in 22-hour days. So I knew what it was going to take for that. And then also, I also looked at, you know, when you look at an entrepreneur and you look at what these some of these other guys have done, right? When you look at Zuckerberg, when you look at the guy Dorsey from Twitter, and even the struggles, they see the other side, billions of dollars, trillions of dollars. But how did they get there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul Allen, Bill Gates in a garage, you know, and this is all part of it. Even when you look at the Oracle guy, right? Larry Ellison. Look, Elon Musk has to this day still, he's got a great friend in Larry Ellison. Larry helps Elon in all aspects. He's helping him with the Twitter buy right now. But it's almost you have to have, there's another saying I have, and I tell this people. People tell me right now that I'm very lucky. And I tell them, luck is only happens as you're more successful. And the harder you work. The harder you work,
the luckier you get.
The luckier you get.
Isn't that ironic? Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I tell people. It's like, look, it only luck is on your side as the time you put in and how hard you work. People see me still right now. My team sees me. I'll put in 16 to 18 hour days. I'm till like 2:30 in the morning working, getting up at 6 in the morning, getting my daughter ready for school. And then my day starts. I'm meeting people all around, having dinner, lunch meetings, all of this stuff. But you have to dedicate yourself. If you want to go for it,
you have to go all in. You have to go all in. Well, you right before we started recording, you were mentioning that you got off a couple of phone calls. You got a couple of important meetings right afterwards. You're traveling all the time. You're a global citizen, lived all around the world. You're doing podcasts, you're on stages. Tell me about your daily routine. Tell me what is working for you to help you perform at this level. And to be clear, mm-hmm. and I'd love you to touch to this too, is that, you know, working really hard and working 18-hour days, great. But if it's not sustainable over a longer period of time, you're going to go for a year or two and then burn out. So I'd love you to speak to that, like what's worked for you to build a sustainable routine to keep you performing at this level.
Healthy lifestyle, number one. Before I started this, I was 192 pounds, and I knew I had to get into shape. I had to look good. I had to be good. I had to eat healthy, and that's what I am at. I'm, you know, like 162 now, and, you know, I'm in the gym 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. You know, that's my first thing. I don't start my day without 2 hours in the gym. And, you know, I'm with my trainer twice a week. So the other 4 days I'm working out, I'm on a protein kick daily. I'm over 100 grams of protein every day. So, you know, I think you can't do those hours without having a healthy lifestyle. You know, and I tell people, they're like, how do you find time to get into a gym for 2 hours? I'm like, you got to make time. You know, that's about it. You got to start your day like that. That's got to be your routine. That, look, the first thing I'm going to do is go to the gym, you know, and then everything else comes, you know, and that's just how I operate, even Saturdays. Every day I get up 6 a.m, 7 days a week, you know, that's when I get up. But I don't, you know, I don't drink. I haven't. So when I started this journey, I said, what's the hardest thing for people to give up? And I just thought to myself, I don't think it's the hardest thing, but what is it that you can't give up because you're so social, going to events? And I said, I'm going to give up drinking.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. It's been 3 years. So, you know, and you got to give up something to get something in life. And that's what I gave up. And people are like, damn, we can't believe it. That's. And everybody tell that. They're like, damn, that's so hard for me to do that. Even though I'm so social, I might go out to an event once a week or twice a week, and I got to drink because I think the other people are thinking I'm crazy if I don't. And I'm like, get a pineapple juice. I don't know.
Well, I think for, and I hear you. I stopped drinking many years ago, and I think that, but it's not the drinking that you're dropping, right? It's, and people don't often think about it. It's like, I can't stop drinking, but it's the codependency of what the drinking represents.
Yeah.
It's, it's, oh, I have to please other people and I have to make them feel warm and comfortable so that, so I'll drink a vodka tonic or whatever.
Yeah.
Where
I think it's discipline, right?
That's right.
It shows a person's discipline. People know, people that know me know I am very disciplined. Like if I will find a time for the gym, I don't need to drink to have a good time. I don't need to go to meetings and drink. I don't need to go to events and drink. I can still be hanging out with a crowd of people and just having great conversations and they could be drinking. And I mean, everybody I'm with is always drinking.
Yep.
You know, so it's to me, I can be very disciplined in how I do things, you know.
So during the day, let's talk about how you stay efficient during the day. You got a lot of meetings, lots of tasks, lots of issues, lots of strategy stuff. You're pinging pong all over the place. How you stayed pretty disciplined throughout the day?
I have a lot of automation and everything that I look at. I obviously have Alexa, Google Home. I have my Calendly that follows up on a lot of the meetings and just sends people. So I use a lot of technology, right? That kind of lets me know my meetings and lets me know what's going on and scheduling.
Yep.
You know, I also use the Office 365 planner for all entire executive team and our tasks and things like that. So it's streamlining and operations and streamlining and automation. You know, so that's kind of how I work, you know, and I use those tools and people love it.
Have you been doing, have you been pushing this hard over the last 20 years or you feel like it kind of ebbs and flows?
I've had my first job ever when I was 14 years old working at Dunkin' Donuts. And my first hotel job was at 15 to help my parents pay bills when I was junior and senior in high school. That's where I was working every Saturday, Sunday, 12 hours. So I've always been the same way my entire life. So it's not going to change.
We're grinders, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That's how people know me. They know, they're just like, how the hell do you do it? You know? But
what keeps you up at night or what are you afraid of?
I think for us, the number one thing right now is how bad the economy is going to get. Like, I know there's going to be a massive food shortage. I know there's going to be some sort of crash coming in the market, you know, but there hasn't been a time we haven't got over any of those things, you know? So I always say that it's a bump in the road, right?
That's right.
We know that capital wise, we're starting out. We're not on the level of Marriott's and Hilton. So there's people that are going to replicate what we do. But then there's a lot of people out there already know what we've started. But it also goes back to a Tesla model. Tesla was fighting GM, Mercedes, all of these companies, right? Now, Tesla's valuation, they can't even touch.
Can't even touch. It's like 20X. It's embarrassing.
They can't touch and they can only follow it, right? Our thing is we want them to follow it. I've said it from the get-go. It's not about we want to be better than them. We want them to follow it. You got to follow the same protocol. Is if they follow it, you as a company have done your job. You know, that's what counts.
Look, I really appreciate you coming on the show. As we wrap up, a question I often ask attendees is, you know, what does it mean to live a rich life for you?
I think for me, it's giving back. That's why we're doing our first charity event. We haven't announced it, but it's next week. And it's always been like that. It's when your 7-year-old daughter knows everything about EV Hotel and puts my name in YouTube and watches every single video. And she says that she knows the smart mirror, the smart toilet, all of these things. I feel to me that's the rich life because it's not about money. I don't feel living a rich life is about money. Living a rich life is about values. Hmm. You know, it's to know how can you give back. We're all on this earth to give back and help others. That's what we're here for. You know, and if you've been successful, that's the mantra you need to have. Because what are you going to do with it? Are you going to take it to your grave? Hmm. Is it going to sleep with
you? You're born naked, you die naked, baby.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, like I tell people, I'm like, what do you, if there's a struggling person or if there's people that need help and if you've done well, then you need to help them. You know, you need to get them over the hump. You need to help them in the way that how they can be a better person, how they can live that life, and how can they get to that point, right?
Yep.
So, and that's the issue we have in our industry is, I mean, you're on LinkedIn and social media, and I see with hotels, it's like, I'm opening this brand, I'm opening this brand, I'm building this brand, I'm building that brand. But to me, is how can you help people get there? You're already there. You're building it, yes. But how can somebody else do?
Yeah.
You know, how can somebody, and that's what EV Hotel's doing. EV Hotel, you don't need to be a hospitality veteran to open an EV Hotel. That's what I've done. I mean, we've had people that are opening EV Hotel that never even worked a job in hospitality.
Yeah, love it.
You know?
Yeah, I love one of my favorite quotes is, if you want to help you get what you want, just help others get what they want.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of what we've done. And I'm happy that we have such a great team and great people behind the brand. So influential people that really want to do good throughout the world.
Well, look, Ken, I really appreciate your time. I'm glad you were able to join us today. I know you're a busy guy trying to pin you down here. And, you know, I wish you the most success and growth in the journey and contribution you're trying to make to the world and make as much impact as you can and be the disruptor. And I really bless you with a lot of energy, my friend. And thanks for being on the podcast.
It's been an honor.
Yeah, thanks so much, man.
All right. Thank you.
If you enjoy this podcast or find it valuable in any way, you have a duty to share it with someone else who may need to hear this message or can get value from this content. And remember to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review so we can continue to bring massive value to you. And go to our website, therichequationpodcast.com, to be added to our mailing list for special access and content.
Thank you for listening to the Rich Equation Podcast with Ashish Nathu. Do you want more ideas on how to live rich? Go to richequationpodcast.com for show notes and resources. Then take 1 minute to leave Ashish a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you on the next episode.